from the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois. This is the Closing Market Report. It is the 26th day of July, 2018. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker. He's at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. A bit later in the program, Matt Bennett of Bennett Consulting Channel Seeds from Windsor, Illinois will join us to take a look at the cash grain side of the situation. And then, as we close out our time together, we'll talk with Mike Tenor at T-Storm Weather about conditions here in the Midwest and a bit about what's been happening in Europe as well. Along the way, I'll update you on all the policy issues taking place in Washington, D.C. There's trade with Europe, NAFTA, the Farm Bill, and the USDA's recent announcement of compensation to producers as it relates to the tariffs. And we'll do all that right here on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Let's check in now here on the Closing Market Report with Dan Zwicker. He's at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. Hey, good afternoon to you, Dan.
How you doing, Todd?
Oh, I'm good. The hot weather has abated there, I take it, a bit. But boy, you must have been boiling at some point.
Well, we were at 114 on Monday, but we're still in the 103, 105 range even today. I guess we're supposed to have a cold front come in and take us down to 98, I think, early next week. But we're going to be back to triple-digit heat by the end of the week. So, the real heat is moved over to Arizona where it normally is this time of year. But, boy, that 114, that was a hot one. That was something. I never felt that.
Bad.
I never felt that in my whole lifetime. That's kind of like feeling the 50 below zero wind chill factor that we used to have up north in the Midwest when we were growing up.
Yeah, either of those is too extreme for me. Hey, let's take a look at what's happened in Chicago. So midweek yesterday, we had a pretty good rally. That was in the wheat based off of dry conditions in Europe and some drops that came from other places as related to how much grain they would be harvesting. That settled back just a bit. Corn, however, has managed to stay pretty firm. What do you see in that marketplace?
Well, I think the big story here, now we still have 3 days left or 3 trading days left for the month of July. And that seems to, that could be a lifetime, I guess, in commodity markets. But we're basically higher across the board on corn is higher for the month. So we basically have a monthly reversal to the upside in play. Provided that we don't fall back, we got to manage a close above 371 on D's corn. Wheat is by and far, it would almost have to totally collapse not to have a monthly reversal where we closed out the month of June around 502. On soybeans, we're going to have to close somewhere around above 880. And today we're at 73. So beans are at least within striking distance to close out the month with a monthly reversal to the upside. And if that would go ahead and materialize, I think that would be an awfully strong signal that the market has priced in the worst of the fundamentals and actually is in position to take advantage of improving fundamentals or better tightening supply-demand tables, improving demand, and or maybe the crop isn't quite as big as what the trade has plugged into their computer models during the month of July. I have mixed emotions on crop. It's definitely spotty, and I'm sure you've heard all kinds of stories through your travels. In some areas, it's been hurt. Some areas are looking at probably as good a crop or better than last year. So it will be interesting to see what USDA comes up with here in another week, couple weeks or so.
So we'll be watching for that as they release their first crop production report. That's due out in the month of August. Can you translate what a reversal might mean? And I suppose now we're at the end of August. This might be a kind of a normal place where we could get some kind of up movement in the marketplace, or at least we used to.
Well, we seasonally normally do. This crop, I think crop maturity, I'm just kind of giving a guess, talking to farmers, that we're probably about 2 weeks ahead on maturity than average. So the, you know, USDA's crop people that are out walking the fields here next week, or early next week anyway, the last couple of days of July and the first two or three days of August, they're going to see a lot of different stuff. Now, whether or not that changes their equation, I mean, normally, to my understanding, it's a lot about plant population multiplied by average ear weight and blah, 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 and they give you a number. But I think they're going to see a lot of different things in this August report. Whether or not that makes any difference or not, I don't know. But I think, you know, that is it. How big is the crop? I mean, computer models based upon these crop rating levels, I know, are, you know, suggesting that the crop could be 178 or 180, and the beans could be, you know, 50 or 50 and a half or 51. But I don't have a lot of faith in these crop rating levels, but they are what they are. I think what makes them look good all the time is we plant so heavy population that when we drive down the road, it's just a wall of corn. And if it's green on the outside row, you just check it off, said, well, that's good to excellent. So, but it'll be interesting what USDA does come up with, because I think there's a lot of variability. And truly, I don't think we're really going to know anything until the combines start rolling and the yields start coming in. But I think, you know, we still have a problem yet with the old crop corn and old crop beans. And my guess is the way the market closed today, the way we rallied early in the overnight session and the early morning session, and then begin to fade, I have a feeling the market bought a lot of farmer grain. I think it bought a lot of old crop grain today. And we still have that problem of moving out a lot of this old crop grain, because we still have large carryovers, and it's going to be, I'm fearful that we're going to experience some pretty wide basis levels, maybe here during the month of August, as we kind of shuffle around and get ready for a new crop harvest. So that's something I think farmers probably need to watch out about. But I guess I'm going to be optimistic that at the end of the day, these trade deals are going to come together, and prices are going to be much stronger as we go into the fall months than what a lot of people think.
I called the elevator operator yesterday just to ask about basis, because I was thinking she might, on soybeans, because that's the crop I'll have to sell this year, and thinking that it might widen out. And it's already fairly wide, as most producers will know. So there's a lot of things to consider as we move forward. And I frankly made that call, Dan, based off of the idea that if there is 50 or 75 cents or a dollar or whatever coming from USDA, there could be a lot of beans that move across the scale in the fall. At least that's my opinion, although others have suggested that they'll just store and hope for a higher price and the payment that comes from USDA as a direct payment. So we'll see how it all turns out.
Yeah, I was kind of disappointed listening to that news conference. They sure didn't have a lot of specifics. If they've been thinking about that, if they've been thinking about that since April, man, I'm not too sure they're going to have anything ready by September 1st.
No, there won't be anything. Well, in September, I guess that is the kind of the deadline. Maybe they'll have something. Oh, I don't know. Well, we'll get more details from Sonny Perdue later, I suppose, in the United States Department of Agriculture. Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate you being with us.
Okay, Todd, talk to you next week.
Yeah, bye-bye now. That, of course, is Dan Zwicker. He's with Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. Joins us here in the closing market report from Illinois Public Media. In today's agricultural news, let's try to put together what's happened this week as President Trump wings his way to the Midwest for stops in Iowa and Illinois. Tuesday, the U.S. Secretary of Agriculture, Sonny Perdue, held a teleconference to announce a three-part package to compensate farmers for the damages they've suffered so far from the administration's trade policies and the disputes which have caused tariffs to be levied. Most of the details have yet to be worked out, but sometime after harvest, checks will be in the mail for producers of soybeans, corn, sorghum, cotton, and wheat, along with dairy and pork. Guesses as to how much range from 50 cents to $2 a bushel for soybeans. This month's WASDE report did a calculation on how much the trade policies will change the soybean supply and demand table, and the end result there was 75 cents. President Trump tends to like nice round numbers, so a dollar might be a good guess. That was Tuesday. Yesterday, the president made progress on trade with the European Union, and he put agriculture front and center during the post-meeting Rose Garden announcement.
We will also work to reduce barriers and increase trade in services, chemicals, pharmaceuticals, medical products, as well as soybeans. Soybeans is a big deal. And the European Union is going to start almost immediately to buy a lot of soybeans. They're a tremendous market. Buy a lot of soybeans from our farmers in the Midwest, primarily. So I thank you for that, Jean-Claude.
Jean-Claude is Jean-Claude Juncker, the president of the European Union. He sat down with President Trump to hammer out the agreement. However, about the soybeans, as you've been hearing from the meteorologist on this program for a while, Europe has been suffering through a drought. I checked with Mike Tenora from T-Storm. He's up at the end of the program today to see how the oil seeds in Europe have been faring this year. We already know the wheat harvest is down. Those two growing regions mostly overlap, wheat and rapeseed in Europe, which is what they use to press into vegetable oil. 44% of that area, rapeseed that is, has suffered through drought conditions over the last 90 days. The point is, Europe was likely to buy soybeans on the world market anyway to make up its shortfall, and its preference is for U.S. soybeans. Brazilian beans tend to have a pinkish cast to them because of the high iron content in the soils. When those are pressed for oil, that pink or red has to be filtered out. I saw that firsthand when visiting Rotterdam a few years back. Still, my view may be stilted by hosting the closing market report. The chairman of the House Agriculture Committee, Mike Conaway, was in the Rose Garden yesterday, and he says this sale and agreement is a great big deal.
It's a big deal. I mean, a really big deal. And it shows a success that the president's having. You know, there's been a lot of criticism of his negotiating techniques, but this is a clear indication that he knows what he's doing and that, and in fact, it did work. And so that was you know, unexpected. We got to watch that. We then went into the meeting with the president. He walked us through kind of how he and the EU guy got to where they got to. The president's got a clear command of what's going on in this arena. A couple of our guys were able to share specific producer stories who've been impacted by mischief by China or markets that have been affected by the tariffs and the trade turmoil that's going on. The president shared with us one that he was aware of. So he's got a clear understanding of what's going on and knows that there's things happening in production agriculture. That's why he was so supportive of and drove the idea of getting this package that Sonny Perdue will be responsible for out of USDA to try to mitigate in some small way the damages that are going on with respect to the fights that he's having with China and the renegotiation with Mexico, Canada, the EU, that kind of thing.
Again, that's Mike Conaway, a Texas Republican and chair of the House Committee on Agriculture. He happened to be in the Rose Garden yesterday when the president made the EU trade announcements, but was actually headed into the White House to meet with President Trump. The farm bill was on the agenda, and Conaway didn't miss a political advantage even when facing a fellow Republican. The House version of the farm bill includes additional work requirements for users of the SNAP or food stamp program that are not included in the Senate version, and that will be up for debate once the two bills go to conference.
I had a chance to tell him that in addition to getting the trade deals done, getting a farm bill done on time would be really important, and he could not have been more supportive. He wants, strong program integrity aspects with respect to SNAP included in our bill, and he just basically told Pat Roberts and I to get it done and get it done on time, and that he is very supportive of it.
Senator Roberts, a Kansas Republican, along with Senator Debbie Stabenow from Michigan, a Democrat, guided the development of the upper chamber's version of the farm bill that does not include the new SNAP requirements. It, unlike the House version of the bill, passed with bipartisan support. Only Republicans voted for the House version. That sets up a conference committee battle where the Senate feels it has the high road bipartisan upper hand and that Republican members from the House have the president's support. Roberts, Stabenow, Conaway, and Representative Colin Peterson, a Democrat from Minnesota, met today to do some pre-conference committee work, though the committee itself cannot meet until the Senate votes to take the farm bill to conference. The House has already done so. The other issue already mentioned here once is NAFTA, or the North American Free Trade Agreement. That one's been close to being done, on and off, for some time. It looks like it's off again, as Secretary Perdue pointed out after the meeting with the president yesterday.
The president described his strategy regarding tariffs and gave some updates on that regarding not only the EU and how that came about, but certainly with Mexico and the near-term expectant of a deal with Mexico.
Sonny Perdue has said he expects a bilateral trade agreement to be completed with Mexico sometime in August. That would leave trade with Canada still open and on the table. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. This is the closing market report for Thursday afternoon. Mike Tenor is here. He's with T-Storm Weather out of Chicago. Mike, it's a beautiful day here, though it doesn't feel all that much like summer. Nice, cool weather, and it looks like we're going to have some of that for a while.
We will through about Sunday. We have a very cool air mass in place, and it will steadily get cooler as we move through the weekend. So all in all, some pretty perfect weather here. Highs in the 70s, lows in the 50s, and that's the way it will be for about the next 3 to 4 days.
Across the Midwest, does this cool weather come with any rainfall chances?
Well, there will be a fairly strong system that moves along the southern edge of coolness. That starts up tomorrow and then continues through Tuesday. So a fairly slow-moving system. The main uncertainty regards the northward extent of rain. We have high confidence in significant rainfall for areas to the west and south of Illinois, especially Nebraska, Kansas, Oklahoma, and Colorado. That's primarily along that southwest fringe of corn and soybean production. As we move through the weekend, some of that rain will start to inch its way to the east, and that will start to affect some of the areas along the Mississippi Delta. So bringing them some good rains of 3/4 of an inch to 1.5 inches. And eventually some of that will attempt to work its way into the Corn Belt. The big uncertainty right now regards how far north will this rain go. At this point, we think we can divide the Corn Belt in half, and we'll take the southeast half of the Corn Belt, give them about 1/2 inch to maybe 1.5 inches. That will mainly be from Sunday through Tuesday. Everybody to the north and west from there stays fairly dry. So some rain is coming up. Some areas will benefit more than others, but there is a bit of uncertainty here because the rain event we're talking about is still about 3 to 4, even 5 days away. So we need another day or two to really understand this event.
Beyond that, do we see heat coming back into the Midwest?
Well, it certainly will start to turn warmer once we move into next week. We'll start to see this big upper level high that's been off to the west for the last couple of weeks start to expand. Now, it's not going to expand and envelop the entire central U.S. It will eventually, or essentially, warm up and then cool back down as another cool front or two managed to hold the true heat at bay. The one thing we're wondering about, though, is what happens around 10, 12, 14 days from now. There are some signs that this warmer period will start to become a little bit stronger, and that will start to send temperatures back into the 80s and 90s on a more consistent basis and keep those lows in the 70s. That's still, again, a little ways off here. So there's a lot of things to happen between now and then. But most signs do point to a warmer period for August, though not an unabated heat wave or anything like that.
One final question for you. A lot of turmoil in Europe at this point as it relates to dry weather and heat. Can you tell me what your assessment looks like?
Well, a lot of the dry weather and the hot weather that we've been seeing started a long time ago. So we're basically seeing the effects of that now with some poor wheat reports coming out of parts of Europe, especially in the north and the central areas around Germany. As we move forward, it is going to stay fairly dry in France in particular. And even though France has never been at the epicenter of dryness, their spring crops, and especially corn, have been drying out a little bit here over the last 30 to 40 days. More important than that, it's been unusually warm over the last month or so in France, even extending all the way back into May. It looks to stay pretty warm there. So whether or not that becomes an issue is something that we're going to have to watch. On the other hand, Ukraine has turned very wet over the last 30 to 45 days, so that's no longer an issue for them as far as drought goes. And even the eastern EU, they've been actually pretty wet, maybe even a little too wet lately. So Europe is a bit of a question mark at the moment.
Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Mike Tenura is with T-Storm Weather. He is in Chicago. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.